You're listening to a Sun Life podcast. We pray that you be blessed by the teaching of God's word. For more information, visit sunlife.org.au. Enjoy the sermon.
Well, my name is Bin, and I'm one of the pastors and leaders at Sun Life Church, and I have the joy to share with you the vision that God has been impressed upon my heart since mid last year. And so once a year, I head out of the city and I seek God and I pray and I fast and I just ask God, I cry and I plead with God, God, tell me, where are we going? What am I meant to be doing? Lord, you help me as I try to, lead your church forward. And so God's been impressing a few things in my heart last year, and then I take it back and I share with my leaders and my staff and the team, and on this day I get the chance and the joy to share with you what God has been saying to me for our church. So to do that, I want you to open with me to Exodus chapter 34. This is what God has spoken so clearly to me mid last year, and it's going to be the word, the message for this morning. Exodus chapter 34, I'll take us from verse 29. Let me read the word of God. When Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the covenant law in his hands, he was not aware that his face was radiant because he had spoken with the Lord. When Aaron and all the Israelites saw Moses, his face was radiant and they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called to them. So Aaron and all the leaders of the community came back to him and he spoke to them. Afterward, all the Israelites came near. So they came near to Moses. And he gave them all the commands the Lord had given him on Mount Sinai. Verse 33. When Moses finished speaking to them, he put a veil over his face. But whenever he entered the Lord's presence to speak with him, he would remove the veil until he came out. And when he came out and told the Israelites what he had been commanded, they saw that his face was radiant. Then Moses would put on the veil back over his face until he went in to speak with the Lord. And this is the word of the Lord. You know, if you are familiar with Exodus 34, this is the second time that God asked Moses to go up to the mountain to give him the Ten Commandments. This is the second time. Because in chapter 32, two chapters prior to that, Moses already had the Ten Commandments. And he's coming down from the mountain. And unfortunately, if you remember in that chapter, the people below, they were impatient. They were waiting for Moses and they were impatient. So they told Aaron, let's build an idol out of gold. And they shaped it in the form of a calf, a cow, remember? So Moses would come down and they're dancing and they're worshiping this idol made out of gold. Now go with me just to two chapters. So chapter 32, I'll take you from verse 19. When Moses approached the camp and he saw the calf and the dancing, his anger burned and he threw the tablets out of his hands, breaking them to pieces at the foot of the mountain. You can see that, right? He's not happy. He's not a happy Jan. He's like, what are you guys doing? I went up there and I come down to this. We turn the page to chapter 33 and things are not looking good for God's people. In fact, if you know in chapter 33, Moses and the Israelites, they are on the brink of giving up everything. In other words, the Bible story could have ended right there. It could have ended in Exodus 33. I'll show you why. Turn to chapter 33. I'll take you from verse 15 to 17. And then Moses said to him, this is God, if your presence does not go with us. In other words, God, if you don't come with me, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth? Verse 17, And the Lord said to Moses, I will do the very thing you have asked because I am pleased with you and I know you by name. You see, Moses is like, God, unless you go, I'm giving up. Unless your presence go with us, I don't want to do this. I want to end it right now, right here. So God's story could have ended right there, right? At that point, it could have been game over. Can you see that? So then we get to chapter 34, which is the passage I read. It's like God is giving them a second chance. It's now Moses, I want you to go back up to the mountain. Moses is back up there. He fasts and he prays to God for 40 days, 40 nights. And now he comes back down from the mountain with the two tablets. And this time, there's no partying, there's no blowing of trumpets, there's no dancing, there's no idol worshiping. This time, they're waiting for him. But this time, they notice something different. This time, it's his face. The text tells us that his face is radiant. It's shining. It's reflecting the glory of God. Go back again to Exodus 34, verse 29. When Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the covenant law in his hands, he was not aware that his face was radiant. He was not aware. He didn't realize that there was something reflecting from his face because he has spent the time he's spoken with the Lord. You notice in the text, Moses is carrying two things. Look carefully in the text again. In his hands, he's carrying the tablets, which is the word of God, and on his face, he's carrying the glory of God. Carries two things. Like the text tells us that God's word and God's glory is inseparable. That's what the text is saying. See, R.A. Cole, in his commentary of this particular passage, he says, I quote him, he says, Moses' shining face is mentioned in immediate conjunction with the tablets, underlying that the glory derives from his reception of divine revelation. What that means is this: when God's people, you and I, receive the word of God rightfully, God's glory will follow. When we want more of God, we must want more of his word. To experience him is to have intentional time in his word to read and read and read and wait upon God and say, God, I want your glory. I want to experience you. That's what the text is saying. You cannot separate God's word and God's glory. And see, the glory of God is something we hear a lot in the Christian circle. But I'll tell you something, glory is very hard to describe. It's very hard to define. It's like the word beauty. How would you describe beauty? Think about it. It's very, very hard. I look at Tran, my wife. I gaze at her. That is the definition of beauty. She paid me to say that, by the way. You know, when I see someone drive a golf ball 250 meters straight down the fairway with a baby drawer, that is beauty. When I bite into that juicy Malaysian durian fruit, some of you might think that's torture. I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. I call that beauty. You see, beauty and glory are words that are very hard to describe, but when you experience it, you know it. You just know what it is. And you see, Moses actually wanted to see the glory of God. Go with me, I'll show you to Exodus 33:18. Then Moses said, show me your glory. In other words, God, show me your glory. I want to see your glory. Show it to me. And the very next verse, verse 19, and the Lord said, I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name and the Lord in your presence. You see, the glory of God, listen carefully, is so connected to who he is. It is his character on display. It is his goodness, his holiness, His faithfulness on display. And when you begin to see that and experience that, there's this weight, there's this reality. Yes, I have experienced His glory. John Piper, he puts it like this. The glory of God is the infinite beauty and greatness of God's manifold perfection. It's when you see His amazing goodness, His character, His holiness, and you go, wow, that's amazing. You know, a couple years ago, my family and I, we were in Japan, part of our annual holiday. And we got into a car, and I wanted to take my family to see Mount Fuji. And as we were driving along the highway towards the mountain, you know, I often remember what the locals would say and my friends would say. They would say that this mountain, if you see Mount Fuji clearly, you're very lucky. Because I've been told it's the shy mountain. They nicknamed Mount Fuji as being the shy mountain because like 75% of the time you won't see it. It's covered by clouds. Only 25% of the time you get a chance to see it. So here we are, we're driving, heading towards Mount Fuji, and that's the photo right there, by the way. That's us. And a Tran took the photo. I was driving, just for your information. Both hands on the steering wheel. I was driving, Tran took the photo right there. And we were heading towards it, and I didn't realize it, but then as we looked up, we saw it. It was right before our eyes. There it is. That's the highway. And I'm like, is this really it? Like, really? I can't believe it. It's so clear. We could see it. And at that point in time, I had a moment with God as I was driving. I was like kind of shocked. I was like, wow, this is amazing. This is wonderful. I get to see this. I get to see your creation. And as if God was saying to me, Bin, look at my glory. Look at what I created. And I had this moment where I felt God so close. You see, the Christian walk, you and I, we should have moments where we go, wow, God, you're so close. God, you're so good. I can't believe I've experienced your goodness. I can't believe I can see your wonder in creation. You're so good. You're so glorious. That's when you experience the glory of God. That's when you feel the weight of God, when you feel there's a heaviness that God is so real. God is so close. He's so wonderful. The prophet Isaiah, he writes these words in Isaiah 6:3. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of His glory. I don't know about you, but there's moments in life when you might be walking or you might be just strolling and or you might be doing a bush walk and you see something wonderful and you go, wow, God, you are so wonderful. You're so glorious. Or maybe moments in worship when you're singing to God and you go, God, you're so good. Or you're praying to God and you just sense that God is so close and you say, God, I love you so much. You're so glorious. You see, God's glory, it's when you feel Him. It's like there's a weight. The Hebrew word is the word kabod, where there's this association with a weight, a heaviness, a reality that God is so real. It's this overwhelming presence of God. And that's where I want us to go as a church in 2026. I don't want us to fall into the trap to think that church is just this, that we reduce the Christian walk to a moment on Sunday for 90 minutes. We sing a few songs, we hear someone preach, and then we go home, and the next time we think of God is next week. I don't want to reduce that. I don't want our walk with God to be something that's personal and private, and I don't want to talk about it to anyone because that's my personal faith. And I don't want anyone to know about it. No, I don't want that. I don't want us to just pray to God and pray a few prayers and sing a few songs and go, yeah, I've done my thing with God that day. Or I've done my thing with God that week. I want us to have moments where we truly feel the weight, the heaviness of God's presence throughout the week. And that also takes place here on Sunday. It takes place in our closet. It takes place in our connect group. It takes place in our drive to work. We just feel God so close. And like Moses, there's this radiance. Like Moses, that when we walk into places of darkness, people will see the reflection of God's glory in us. That's where I want to take our church this year. I want us to be people where we go, well, I have a responsibility to reflect the glory of God. And to do that, I want to spend time with God. I want to experience Him for myself so that when I go into this world, people will see this glory that I'm reflecting. Now listen carefully. We're not glorious. God is glorious. We reflect the glory of God just like the moon reflecting the rays from the sun. We reflect it, but we have to spend time with God. We have to be in the presence of God. A lot of times, you know, we all start the new year saying, I want to experience more of God. I want to grow in God. Well, I've got an acronym for you to remember. Grow, get rid of old ways. I think there are certain habits, there's certain things that we are doing that is hindering us from experiencing the glory of God. Get rid of them. Get rid of them. And you replace it with new ways. And for some of us here, listen carefully. You put your Bible close to you. So that in the morning, you say, God, I want to be in your word. You put your phone somewhere else. For some of us, maybe the new way is I make it an effort that Sunday is not optional. It's my weekly rhythm that I gather to worship God. I want to experience Him. I want to feel His glory. I want to leave this place reflecting the glory of God. For some of us here, we must be committed to praying. Praying regularly. Praying all the time. Not just that prayer before we eat. Not that prayer that we pray maybe when we go to sleep, but just find times during the day where you are praying to God, that you are telling God the things that are bothering you, and you're praising God the things He's done through you. That becomes part of who you are. For us to seek time aside to really seek the face of God in our closet at home. For us to come and do business with God during that time where God invites us to come into His presence, to repent, to confess, to tell Him the things of our heart. I think for some of us, we need to do something different. And I believe that when you begin to make those small changes, you will experience the glory of God. But here's the thing I want to show you as I wrap up. If you remember in the text, when Moses came down, he wasn't aware that there's a reflection. He didn't realize that there was this radiance, but rather the people saw it in him. You see, what that tells me is that when God works in us and through us, it's usually subtle. Sometimes, listen, we're expecting for that big bang moment where everything's going to change instantly. Can I say that often when God works in us, it's very subtle. It's very gentle. It's slow. It's gradual. Think about for those who've joined the gym. You join the gym because you want to get fit. Maybe it's your New Year's resolution. You want to lose some weight. You want to gain some muscle mass as you join the gym. You do not walk into the gym once, do one workout session, and walk out thinking you're shredded with 5% body fat and looking like Scott there from Young Adults. No, it doesn't happen like that, right? It doesn't. Change is very subtle. But when you show up to the gym, when you are disciplined to get there every morning and do what you need to do and follow the program from your personal trainer, I guarantee you there will be change in you that you won't see but others can see. And that's the same with God. That's the same with your intimacy with God. That's the same with experiencing the glory of God. Don't think that, oh yeah, okay, tomorrow I'm going to experience His glory because I'm going to do these things. No, I will say this to you. If you want to grow in Christian maturity, spiritual muscle is exactly the same. You show up every morning in your time with God. You said, God, I'm going to make a commitment this year that I'm going to pray to you every day. I'm going to read your word, not for the sake of reading the word so that I can go and do my work. No, I want to read your word slowly so that I can hear from you. You show up every day. You are disciplined every day. And I promise you, gradually, you're going to experience the weight, the presence, the glory of God. And the people around you will see a change in you. They will see you reflect this wonderful glory of God. Now, I can't guarantee you that your face will be radiant like Moses. That you know, the wrinkles will go away. That's not what the text is saying. Can't guarantee you that. But I can guarantee you this. That God's glory will change you gradually over time. And you will think differently. You think differently about your life, about your wealth. You will respond differently to situation. You will love differently. And you will also speak differently. And you're going to realize, wow, they're noticing this change without me noticing it at all. That's what happens. And so the vision for our church this year here, the word and the phrase that I want to use throughout this whole year with our teaching is the word behold. Reflect his glory. Yeah, I want every one of us to be in moments this year where we're in awe of the presence of God. Yeah. Behold, God, you're so good. You're so wonderful. And then we're going to reflect the glory of God. And every one of us here, not only on Sunday, but you know, when we leave this place, people are going to see a change in us because why? We've spent time with God. Behold, reflect the glory of God. And so friends, what I want to do now is that maybe you have the church app open. If you do, great. Or maybe it's on your phone. Or maybe you have a pen and paper. In this moment of reflection, this is what I want us to do. We're going to spend some time just to remember what I've just shared. Take time to just reflect on this moment where Moses would spend time with God in the presence of God and would come down and his face would radiate the glory of God. And then ask yourself these questions. What are some of the things that I need to really get rid of this year? What are some thoughts? What are some baggages? Maybe some habits that I need to get rid of. I want you to think about those things. And whenever you're ready, I want you to write those things down. Whether it's on a paper or I want you to put it on your phone. And I want you to mark this date, the 8th of February. Mark it. God, these are the things that I need to get rid of. You list them down. Then spend some time and ask God, God, what are the things you want of me? What are the things that you want me to do this year so that I can really experience your glory? To really feel you and walk closely with you like Moses so that you would change me, so that I would reflect your glory. You write those things down. It might be one thing. It might be two things. You write those things down. And then you begin to pray to God. I'm going to invite the worship team just to sing in the background. But we're going to spend this time just to reflect upon what was shared. And just speak to God and ask God and write a few things down. And then we pray. And we commit to these changes. And we see God at work in us. Let's do that right now.